Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. We're broadcasting live from the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco this week, and I'm delighted to have Scott Lowe with me. He's an avid blogger, engineering architect at VMware, and kind of an industry celebrity around certain cloud computing topics. Welcome, Scott.
Hello, thank you.
So, Scott, why don't you start just by introducing yourself to the audience? You've never been on Chip Chat before.
That's right, my first time.
So what is it that you do at VMware for your day job, and then how does that extend into the writing that you do as a blogger?
Sure. So I joined VMware about 18 months ago, although I've been working in the virtualization space for probably over a decade. And have had some great opportunities over the years to write some books around, you know, VMware vSphere and that sort of thing, and talk at user groups and conferences. But it was, you know, it was about 2 years ago that I felt like there was a shift in the industry around how we were handling IT infrastructure. And that's the point at which I started looking around and ended up in VMware in the Network and Security Business Unit, which is the group that was formed out of the NYSERA acquisition. And so I work on network virtualization, SDN, NFV type topics for VMware, which naturally leads into me talking about a lot of those sort of things and the open source technologies that I spend a lot of time working with. That's kind of stuff that shows up on the site.
So SDN and NFV are probably some of the two, you know, buzzword bingo top terms right now in the data center. For the folks on ChipChat that, I don't know, maybe have been under a rock for the last 12 months, can you just define them quickly in terms of what they are and what they mean to the future of the data center?
Sure. I'll stick with the definition of SDN that's kind of the classic definition as it was first used by the people who sort of invented these technologies, like my boss, Martin Casado, and his colleagues at Stanford when they were developing OpenFlow. And the original definition of software-defined networking was physically separating the control plane from the data plane. So taking functions and protocols and tasks that affect how traffic moves through a network device and separating it from the device that actually moves the packets across the network. So when we talk about SDN, we're talking about somehow taking these control functions and pulling them out of a switch or a router or a virtual switch and putting them somewhere else. And then, you know, the kind of things that you can do with that afterwards as a result. NFV, or network functions virtualization, is kind of like the other side of the coin, where instead of separating control plane, data plane, we're taking some of these data plane functions that used to be physical and now running them virtualized on some sort of hypervisor to be able to provide companies that need that functionality the greater flexibility that virtualization offers and where they place it and how it might move around based on workload or something of that nature.
So if you apply these technologies to a traditional data center environment, give me a before state and an after state of how you would see the networking functions flowing in that data center.
So let's take a sort of a typical enterprise data center as it exists now after having been more than likely heavily virtualized using VMware's pieces, right? And what you'll see is, you know, you'll have a bunch of servers that are running a variety of workloads. In order to provide the necessary connectivity, the networking group has kind of had to basically cede control of the edge of the network over to a server team and basically just hand kind of any sort of fine-grained control over network traffic and network tuning. And you see large, what we call broadcast domains, layer two segments that have been spread out because of how, you know, VMware enables customers to move workloads here and there based on server utilization, so on and so forth,
right,
using technologies like vMotion, DRS. That's how things look now. And anytime an application in that enterprise needs to be deployed that involves new network segments, then the network engineers have to go and touch every piece of equipment in the network or some subset of the equipment in the network to make that new VLAN typically show up. And then they just have to, you know, kind of toss that in with the rest of the VLANs that are being trunked up to your hypervisors and let the hypervisor kind of sort it out. Now, when you take technologies like SDN, which is SDN is an enabling thing. It's not like an end goal. It is a means to get to an end goal, right? And for VMware, and the things that I talk about with customers in my role is network virtualization, kind of doing the same thing for networking services and network connectivity that we did for compute workloads with the hypervisor. So basically being able to say, hey, I want to be able to define a logical network, which is, you know, a definition of a subnet and some broadcast domain with some network services like firewalling or routing or load balancing, something of that nature. And then being able to instantiate that in software, decoupled from the underlying hardware. So when you take this heavily virtualized data center that looks like a certain way today and you put network virtualization into the mix, now we can simplify the underlying network infrastructure so we don't have to make changes to that every time we want to roll out an application, which is great because network downtime is often caused by human error when those changes occur. And then we can instantiate these definitions in software logically. And we can still do that and actually kind of return a greater level of control to the network team than what they had before, which is kind of win-win for both sides because the software server guys can spin up these networks without having to wait on the network guys. So the network guys kind of regain some visibility and some granularity that they didn't have before. So we think it's a real thing. And the way specifically SDN and NFV fit in there is SDN is this decoupling of control plane and data plane, which we use to program the virtual switches and hypervisors to tell them how to create these logical networks. NFV is the function, the virtualization of network functions, which is what we use to provide virtualized routers, virtualized firewalls, virtualized load balancers to provide those network services. So I hope that makes sense.
Yes, of course it does. Now, when we take a look at the evolution from vision technology specs being written and where we are today, where would you say we are in terms of the evolution of this technology and making it real and broad in data center environments?
Well, I think that question is actually, it's a multifaceted sort of question, right? If you look at just, let's say, pure SDN, the challenge we have is much like the term cloud was a couple years ago, and you probably had guests on your podcast talking about this. It was very kind of undefined, you
nebulous,
know, different,
yeah,
nebulous, right. Different people use the same term to mean different things. And what we're seeing in the industry right now is that SDN is kind of being co-opted to mean anything cool in networking.
Right.
You know, if you add an API to your switch, then you're doing SDN, right? And so you have to look at that sort of classic definition of what SDN means to say, this is really what we're talking about. And then what are we doing with SDN? That's kind of the real question, right? I think the networking industry is going to have to kind of go through the same thing that the cloud industry went through, where they kind of have to shake out the definition and everybody come to an agreement on this is what it is. And then we can begin to move forward. From a VMware specific perspective, the thing that we do using SDN as a means to get to the goal, network virtualization, is, you know, seeing good uptake by customers. It's part of a broader software-defined data center vision that I think aligns reasonably well with the software-defined infrastructure vision that Intel's been talking about at the show this week. But it's still early days yet. There's, you know, plenty of customers out there who are evaluating and haven't adopted it yet. And I think there's lots of room for growth and adoption yet in the industry to do these things. And, you know, the other side of it too is operational, like the people side.
Right.
You know, the technology might be ready, but when you talk to the people, if they haven't kind of gotten over the status quo.
I mean, it changes operationally how data center networks are going to be provisioned, how they're going to be managed, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
So when you talk to end customers, what kind of resistance do you get?
Well, I guess it really depends on who you talk to, like, and who they've talked to before, you know, because the reality is, you know, there's a lot of players in this space, and so everybody likes to, you know, lay a trap for the other guy who might be coming in as a competitor. So if they've talked to, you know, some of VMware's competitors in the network virtualization SDN space, then, you know, the networking team may be very resistant. They may actually think that, oh, hey, we're going to lose some control. We're going to lose some visibility, right? There are also challenges around operational procedures. You know, typically something like this, the really interesting thing about this is that, you know, we provide this ability to virtualize the network, which is just really, really cool, but it kind of by itself, it doesn't really do a whole lot. Like, I mean, that comes out the wrong way, and that's not what I'm saying, but it's like you have to look at network virtualization as part of the broader software-defined strategy, right?
So
what you really want is you want some sort of some sort of orchestration system driving this, right?
Automation of your services.
That's exactly right. You want something that will automatically spin up this network segment and attach a firewall to it and program the rules. And you can do all this stuff manually, but if you don't have that orchestration system in, then you're not really getting the true benefit of what you can do out of the overall solution. And so a lot of times we run into resistance from customers who weren't prepared to go down the path of dealing with the people and process side of putting in an orchestration solution.
Right. It's an interesting question. And one thing that we've been talking about with enterprise customers is you ask them, well, are you running cloud? Are you running a private cloud? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're running a private cloud. And then you ask the follow-on question of, well, how long does it take you to provision a service from the time that you get the request to it being up and running? It's like, oh, that's like 5 days, that's 3 days, that's even 7 hours. And it's obvious that they have not fully automated that process.
That's right.
And they're not at that end state yet. When you talk to customers, how many customers that you talk to are actually at that point where they've actually got automated service provisioning running?
So we've tried really, really hard, because one of the core values that a solution like NSX brings is the ability to eliminate this gap in how long it takes to spin up things. Mm-hmm. Hypervisors have made it possible to spin up virtual machines in a matter of minutes, no big deal, doing that for years. But typically the bottleneck is, going out to some firewall rule or some set of firewalls and programming some rules, or going out to a hardware load balancer and configuring a VIP or something of that nature. And there's just hasn't been a way to automate that yet.
Right. Exactly.
So now that, you can, people can actually move forward. So we've tried to be really careful about making sure that people understand that to really get the advantage out of this, you have to go with an orchestration system. So a lot of times we talk to customers, they are in tandem looking at orchestration along with network virtualization to complement what they're already doing on the storage or compute side, right? But it does introduce challenges. I mean, there are customers who think they have a cloud who, like you described, are still doing processes manually or something of that nature, which means it's not really a cloud, but yeah.
Now, I know that you spend a lot of time looking at what's going on in the industry, going to conferences, talking to various members of the ecosystem. What are the interesting technology vectors in this space right now that you've seen, and maybe some unique opportunities from various companies that you think are interesting for our listeners to follow up
on? There's two or three that I think very interesting things. I won't go so far as to kind of predict what's going to happen there, but I'm watching very carefully to see what will happen. And some of them actually have, I don't want to say roots, but they're kind of closely related to things that Intel has been doing as well. So one of the things that's very interesting to me is this idea of disaggregating the network operating system from the network hardware. So the idea of saying, rather than buying a switch from a particular vendor and then always getting that vendor's operating system running on it, instead buying a switch and then being able to run some sort of more standardized, operating system on it, right? One example of several that are in this space would be Cumulus Linux, which, is a Linux distribution that also has some hooks into the networking hardware. So that's a very interesting thing, because it really kind of changes the model and how networking hardware and software is acquired.
Right.
Fundamentally, it's a fundamentally different sort of thing. And so I think the work that Intel's done with Open Network Platform, switch reference designs, and stuff around making it easier for people to port hardware independent operating systems onto these designs is going to, I think it'll accelerate that. Now the time frame is unclear yet, but I think it'll accelerate this idea of having vendors out there who are offering a Linux distribution of some sort that also has deep ties into the hardware to enable really efficient switching. So that disaggregation of the network software and network hardware is one that I'm watching, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that turns out. I'm not necessarily saying it'll end up being, cheap white boxes that everybody can buy, but I think it will change the model that people have to use to kind of follow that. Another one, and I'm almost hesitant to talk about it because it gets so much attention, but this idea of containers and, of course, the darling of the tech world, Docker, you can't hardly take a breath without running into a Docker these days. But while the underlying container technologies that it leverages aren't all that new, I've been around in the Linux kernel for a little while now, the workflow that it brings is new, and obviously, judging by all the attention it's getting, it's really resonating with people. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. There are obviously some challenges around networking and how you manage a whole bunch of containers, talking on a whole bunch of different hosts, and how you discover where those containers are running and how you even schedule where those containers should run. So there are some challenges the tech industry has to address that haven't been addressed yet, but that's another area I think that will be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last one is just, you know, this ongoing sort of effort. You know, we talked a little bit about the disaggregation of network hardware, network software, but, you know, there's disaggregation occurring all over the places, you know, whether we talk about, you know, Intel's rack scale architecture stuff, disaggregating network components there, or we talk about, you know, other separation of things. And I think the more that we begin to kind of decompose areas and add abstraction layers and APIs and that sort of thing, we'll see some very interesting innovations occur. So I'm also watching some of those areas to see what's going to happen. Open source is clearly having a huge impact in the industry. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, kind of your quote-unquote traditional software vendors, my employer included, will react to increasing pressure to make everything open source and contribute back to the community.
Those are good topics. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, because we are sitting at IDF, I don't usually play music in the background of our sound studio. We are at IDF. What technologies have you seen while you've been here, or, you know, interesting conversations that you've been here, either on those topics or other ones that are completely unrelated, that have, you know, kind of sparked your interest?
So, you know, I naturally for my job, I spend a lot of time with a networking focus. So a lot of the stuff that I look at when I'm here at IDF is how various things that Intel is doing will impact the networking industry and the virtualization industry and the intersection of the two. So, you know, a few things were very interesting to me. I've been tracking the Intel data plane development kit stuff for the last couple of years, and the result that it will have when you integrate those performance benefits into open source solutions like OpenVSwitch and others will be a tremendous impact on the ability for solutions to support NFV, you know, like lots of small packet applications, right? So that's one that I think is very interesting and continuing to see a lot of attention there. I'm very interested to see how or if Intel will expand that to also focus not only on like data plane development for NICs, which is kind of where it is now, but data plane development for integrating into like the open network platform, you know, the Intel switches or reference designs that have, you know, a Xeon control plane processor and the Fulcrum chipset. So that'll be interesting too as well, because I think if Intel can expand a development kit onto the networking switch side, it will kind of speed up that disaggregation of network hardware software we talked earlier, right?
Yeah, sure.
So that's been very interesting, something I've been continuing to track. Sat in a session today where they were talking about some new functions that were coming in the E5-2600V3, which I think was the one that was announced yesterday.
Yep.
And some virtualization-specific and SDN NFV-specific sort of optimizations that were occurring. So I think that'll be interesting as support for those appears in commercial and open source hypervisors. We'll see increased use for those topics. Haven't seen anything container specific yet, but that's okay. It's early, you know. A good friend of mine, I was in a session yesterday with a friend and a colleague I used to work with, Nick Weaver, who's now at Intel.
Yep, he gave a session on containers yesterday.
Yeah, he did. I was actually in that session.
Oh, good.
And so he alluded to something called SGX, and he thinks that might be something where Intel can innovate. So that prompted me to start digging into SGX, and I haven't gotten too far yet, but you know, early glances means, you know, there might be something interesting there to talk about as things move forward.
So, Scott, no wearable interest from you? I mean, come on. Well, it's the talk of the town.
I spend my time focusing on data center stuff, right? And I was telling somebody yesterday that IDF's kind of an interesting thing for me because, naturally, there's a big part of Intel that has a consumer focus. I mean, that's just, you know, how it is. And so there's this talk of 2-in-1s and tablets and phones and wearables. And I was like, that's not a space I track. You know, talk to me about servers and switches and, you know, then we'll get excited, right?
I was happy that we had a section on the data center in the keynote yesterday to remind everyone that all of those devices really wouldn't be worthwhile if there weren't data centers. Yep, so that was kind of our shining moment, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. There's always a data center back there behind that app that you're running on your tablet or phone or wearable. So.
Well, Scott, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I guess we are catching up with each other in a couple weeks at the ODCA Forecast event.
Right.
You're going to be there moderating and engaging with the crowd at Forecast.
Indeed. Looking forward to that.
I'll look forward to that. And I'll just end with one final question. If folks want to continue the conversation with you, where can they reach you?
So I'm pretty active on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as @Scott_Lowe. Hopefully I won't overwhelm you with, you know, stuff that you're not interested in, but I try and keep it relatively focused on data center and virtualization networking. Of course, you can visit my site, blog.scottlowe.org, where I've been live blogging IDF and also just talking about the open source projects that that I'm tracking. And, you know, my goal there is just to help people understand. There's so much technology going on, so much change, that I really just want to help people kind of stay afloat on this, you know, flood of information they're getting.
No, it's an awesome site. So. I visit it on a fairly regular basis.
So. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
If you're listening online, definitely check it out, especially if you're interested in the data center networking space, because it's a great resource.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for being on today. We'd love to have you back in the future.
Absolutely. It sounds like fun.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.